One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The sealed book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept a great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds, strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly, the great book opens. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of a man who committed the perfect murder, only to discover that every murder must be paid for. A tale titled, Death Laughs Last. The tale, Death Laughs Last, as it is written in the pages of the sealed book. Our story begins in the office of Dr. Robert Smith. There is a worried look on the doctor's face as he speaks to Edward Harrison.
Sit down, won't you, Mr. Harrison?
All right, thanks. Now, what is it, Doc? I can see by your face you want to tell me something about Mary, don't you?
Mr. Harrison, your wife is dangerously ill.
Does that mean she's going to die?
I must be frank with you. It does. Unless...
Unless what, Doctor? Tell me. If there's a chance in the world, she's got to have it, see?
Her only hope is a brain operation. A very difficult and delicate operation. Without it, well, I could only give her 6 months, a year at most.
No. No, it mustn't be. She's got to have the operation, you hear?
I must tell you, Mr. Harrison, that only one man in this country has the necessary skill for the operation your wife needs. He is Dr. Howard Richards.
I don't care who he is. Get him.
I was going to say, naturally, he's in great demand. His average fee for an operation is about
$1,500. $1,500?
Of course, if you can't afford that, he might consider the circumstances.
No, I can't afford it. I can afford anything Mary needs.
Then I'll get in touch with him at once.
Yes, sure. You make the arrangements right away. I'll get a hold of the money. I'll get it to you by tomorrow, sure. Mr. Danvers, I'm Ed Harrison.
Oh, yes, Mr. Harrison. Please sit down.
Thanks. They told me you have to pass on all the real estate loans here at the bank. Have you looked over my application yet?
I have it here. I see that you want to borrow $1,500 from us.
That's right, and it's urgent. I've got to have the money right away.
Unfortunately, the security you offer, your home...
What's wrong with it? It's a swell little house, good section, all in good repair.
That's true, but you already have a first and second mortgage on it, totaling $4,000, and... Well, I'm afraid we can't make any further loans on it.
But I've got to have the money, Mr. Danvers. I've just got to.
I'm sorry to hear that, because there's nothing we can do to help you. Nothing we can do.
You say you're not employed, Mr. Harrison?
No, I own a shop. I'm a locksmith.
That means you're never certain of your income. If you had a job now, a regular income you could depend on...
What are you getting at? You mean you're not going to let me have the money?
I certainly wish I could, but under the circumstances... I'm sorry, very sorry, but there's nothing I can do to...
I'm afraid the collateral you suggest isn't satisfactory, Mr. Harrison. We'd lend you the money if we could, but we just can't. Sorry.
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 Sorry. Edward, you aren't eating, and you're so quiet. Is anything wrong?
What? No, of course not.
You're worrying about me, aren't you?
Well, no, Mary. I just think about making some changes at the shop and...
Darling, please, you don't have to lie to me. I know that I'm not well, but I'm going to get better. Really, I am. I promise it.
Of course you are. Dr. Smith said so. You're going to be well in no time.
Of course I am, dear.
No, I got to go out. I have an appointment over the other side of the city with Horace Latimer. We grew up together. He wants to see me about something important.
Edward had no appointment with Horace Latimer, but he went to see Horace anyway, for he and Horace had been boyhood friends. Then their paths had separated. Horace had grown wealthy, but in his desperation, Edward Harrison hoped that Horace would remember the past and would lend him the money he'd been trying to raise all day. Horace could spare it easily, but would he?
$1,500? Well, that's rather a lot of money, Ed.
I know it is, Horace, but it's for Mary. For an operation. I've got to have it.
Well, why don't you try the bank? You have a house, a business?
I tried the bank and all the personal loan companies in town. They all turned me down. Said the security wasn't good enough.
I see. Well, that's too bad. Now, you can bet I'd lend it to you, Ed, if I had it. Well, that's the trouble. I haven't any ready cash. Nor the income tax, you know, and... A couple of shaky investments that I had to bolster up lately.
All right, Horace. Never mind explaining. I get the idea. You're not going to lend me the money.
Well, really, Ed, I would if I could, but I can't. I'm sorry.
Save your sorrow for somebody else. I don't need your money, you hear? I'll get it someplace else. Yes, I'll get it somehow.
After he had slammed out of Horace Latimer's expensive home, Edward stood for a moment on the dark street corner, staring back with bitterness in his face.
Sorry. Yeah, you're sorry. In a pig's eye, you're sorry. Oh, what a sap I was to think you were a pal of mine.
Yeah, what's that, buddy? Was you speaking to me?
Sorry. I guess I was thinking out loud.
That's okay. We all do it sometimes. Hey, you got a match?
Match? Well, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, just hold it like that. Make a move and I plug you.
Gun, why, you're...
Yeah, this is a stick-up. Hand over your dough and make it fast, see?
My dough? That's a hot one. I'm out trying to raise money myself. Now we're both out of luck. I've only got a dollar on me. Take it if you want it. Anyway, it's more than I could raise.
Don't try to kid me. Anybody who lives in this ritzy suburb has dough on him. Yeah, stand still while I see what you got in your pockets. A wallet and a leather case of some kind.
You'll find just $1 in that wallet. And I don't live in this neighborhood. I came here to try to borrow some money from a friend.
A buck. One measly buck. Eh, what a lousy break. But I bet you got a roll hidden in this leather case. It's heavy enough.
You'll lose your bet. Nothing in there but my emergency kit.
Yeah? Well, I'll just see for myself. Hey, this kit's full of skeleton keys and picklocks and stuff. When are you, anyway? A second-story waker?
I'm a locksmith and safe repairman, if it's anything to you.
Oh. Were you on the level just now when you said you was trying to raise dough?
What's it to you?
Yeah, you'd be surprised, pal. Okay, I'm putting the gun away, but you ain't leaving yet. Me and you, we're gonna talk business. Because I got a plan that'll get us both all the dough we need. Two more beers, waiter. Well, is the deal on my proposition?
I don't know, Mike.
Sure you do. There's nothing to it. You can open locks and safes. I know where there's a house with plenty of dough in it.
But burglary? I've never stolen anything in my life.
Now listen, you said you needed dough bad, didn't you? And so do I, plenty bad.
But
all you gotta do is get the back door open and then the safe. In half an hour, you'll have your 1,500 and more. How else are you ever gonna get it? Answer me that.
I don't know. You sure the money's there, Mike?
Positive. I was casing the joint and looked in the window in time to see the old geezer put a whole roll of bills in a safe that's no stronger than a bread box. Hey, you can open it with your teeth.
Gotta get the money somehow. All right, I'll do it.
To continue the story, Death Laughs Last, as it is written in the sealed book. A few minutes later, Edward Harrison and Mike arrived at the large mansion and quietly made their way toward the back door.
Okay, this is it. Everybody's hit the hay long ago. It'll be a cinch.
The lock looks easy. But I shouldn't be doing this. There must be some other way to get the money.
Don't be a sucker all your life. You're going to take what you want in this world. If you don't, you never get it.
Well...
Come on, get that door open. We got to get inside before we're spotted.
All right. Let me take a second. I think... Yeah. There, it's unlocked.
Okay, get inside. The safe's in the library down this way. Don't make any noise.
Sure, there's only two of them in the house.
Yeah, the old guy and his butler. Probably both of them deaf as posts. Here's the library. Come on, the safe's behind the picture on the wall.
This picture?
Yeah, that's it. I'll lift it down. There you are. That safe is just a kid's toy. Go ahead, get it open.
It won't be that easy. I'll have it open inside a half an hour.
On that thing.
It's coming now. There. The safe's open.
About time, too. Now let's see what's in it. Here's the cash box. Will I open it? There, look. Dough, cash, Mazuma. What'd I tell you?
There must be thousands there.
Easy. Come on, we'll count it and divvy it up.
No, no, never mind. Just give me 1,500. That's all I want. You can keep the rest.
Are you kidding?
No, that's all I want. Just the 1,500 that I need.
Okay, it's your funeral. Here you are. 10, 11, 12,
13, 14,
$1,500 bills. $1,500? Yeah, for just an hour's work. Easy money, huh? What do you say we crack a couple of more cribs tonight, huh?
No, no. I just want to get out of here now.
Someone's coming. Here, get behind this door. I'll take care of this.
Who's there? Jenkins, is that you? Oh, where's that light switch? Burglars! Jenkins! Jenkins, call the police! Quick!
Nobody's calling any cops tonight, chum.
Help! Police! Help! Oh!
Oh. Maybe that'll convince you.
You hit him.
And what'd you expect me to do, shake his hand?
You killed him. That's murder.
Yeah, and you're in just as deep as me. Don't forget that.
Yeah. I'm an accessory to murder.
Cut the guff and let's get out of here. Or do you want to get caught?
No, no, of course not.
Well, then let's get going. Douse that light. I don't hear nothing. Come on, we'll get out the way we come in.
But suppose we are caught. Murder, they'll hang us.
Hey, we ain't going to get caught. We haven't left a clue, not even a fingerprint.
Stand still, both of you. I have a gun and I have you covered.
The butler.
If you move, I'll shoot. I can see you perfectly.
Standing on the stairs, he's got a gun. We're caught.
Not yet. We ain't, not by an old scarecrow with a rusty horse pistol.
Put up your hands. I'm going to call the police. You've done something to the master. I heard him call.
Okay. We'll put up our hands like this.
Mike, you shot him.
Come on. We got to get out of here in a hurry. Them shots will bring the cops, but fast. Okay, here we are. Come on in.
But why did you make me come here? Why can't I go home?
You heard me. Come on in.
What?
That's better. Now, take off your hat and stay a while.
Why did you make me come here to your room?
Two reasons. The first is I want to make sure you know what it'll mean if you let anything slip. It'll mean a rope around your neck. Get me?
Yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me. I won't let anything slip.
If I thought you might, I'd slit your gullet right now.
I won't. I have to live. For my wife's sake.
Okay. And the second reason you're here is so you and me can have a little talk.
Talk? What kind of a talk?
Well, chum, I like the way you got that door and that safe open tonight. You and me got a future together.
What?
As soon as the heat's off, we're going to do another little job together.
No, I won't do it. I won't.
Sure you will.
I won't do it. You can't make me.
Oh, yes, I can. If you don't, I can always send a little note to the cops, telling them it's you they want for them killings tonight.
You wouldn't. They'd get you, too.
I'd be a long ways away by then. But you can't get away. You got a business here and a sick wife. You couldn't leave them. Well, you're going to do what I say?
You devil. You... You...
Don't say it. You don't think you can just dip into crime and then back out again without getting your hands dirty, do you? You don't think you can pull a job and then go on as if nothing had happened? You're mixed up in murder, and somebody's always got to pay for murder, one way or another.
I only did it for Mary's sake.
It don't matter why you did it. You're in it now, and you can't get out. Not without paying in some way.
I've got a good mind to go to the police, to confess, to get it off my chest.
No, you don't. You see this gun? I'd plug you in a second if I thought...
No, you don't.
Get away from me. Let go of my hand. Let go.
You got me into this. You're not going to make me go any further with it. I'll take that gun away from you and I'll...
Oh, you fool. Let go or I'll plug you out.
Mike. He's dead.
killed him.
In a daze of horror, Edward Harrison found his hat and made his way to the street. His mind in a whirl, he stumbled into a tiny bar a few blocks away. Struggling to control his shaking hands and to keep his voice normal, he ordered a double whiskey and gulped it down. Then, as his senses cleared a little, he heard the radio at the end of the bar broadcasting a warning to the city. Attention all residents of the city, attention all residents. The police department is asking you to be on the lookout for the following man, wanted for a brutal double murder committed in the Buxton Park section less than an hour ago. Please make a note of the following description.
No.
The man was...
Hey, buddy, what's the idea? What'd you shut the radio off for?
Because I was sick of listening to it, that's why.
Oh, is that so? Well, I'm not, see? And I got an idea. Maybe there was some other reason you didn't want to hear it. So I'm going to turn it back on, see?
No, you mustn't.
Well, I'm gonna. If you try to make a break for it, I got a gun right here under the bar, see? So now let's hear what that dirty killer looked like.
I repeat, be on the lookout for a man of medium height, lean and wiry, with reddish-brown hair, wanted for the double murder in Buxton Park earlier this evening. If you see such a man, report at once to headquarters. We now turn you back to our regular night owl program of popular dance tunes.
Lean and wiry with reddish-brown hair, eh? That ain't you. You're heavy-set and black-haired. Yeah, for a minute there, you had me going. I was positive you was the killer, the way you didn't want me to hear the description. just jumpy, huh? Well, here, have another drink on the house.
Thanks, but I got to get home. I need some sleep. Yeah, that's what I need. Some sleep.
And now to continue the story, Death Laughs Last, as it is written in the sealed book. As Edward Harrison left the bar and hurried home, he was aghast at how close he'd come to giving himself away. It was Mike the police were looking for, not Edward Harrison. It was Mike whose description they had. Edward Harrison was safe. Safe. Hardly able to believe in his own good luck, Edward reached his home and let himself in. Mary was asleep. Quietly, he got into bed and at long last fell asleep. When he awoke, it was morning, and Mary was already preparing breakfast.
Good morning, darling. What time did you get home anyway? I waited up for you until almost 2.
I was pretty late. I stopped at the shop and did a little work. Forgot to watch the time, I guess.
Oh, and this morning you look terrible. I know, you're worrying about me. Oh, but you mustn't, darling. I'm going to be all right. Really, I am.
Of course you are. I'm going to see to that.
What do you think? Dr. Smith called up last night. He wanted to talk to you. He said he had some good news for you.
Good news.
Yes, but he wouldn't tell me what it was. I don't know why. He asked for you to stop in at his office this morning.
I think I know what it is. Yeah, sure. I'll go right over and see him.
But, darling, you're going to eat breakfast first, aren't you?
I'll eat when I get back. I want to see the doctor first. Anyway, I'm not very hungry.
Well, all right, Edward. But please, hurry back. I want to know, too, what the doctor says.
Yeah, sure, Mary. I'll be right back. But everything's okay now. Everything's okay.
After he left the house, Edward bought a morning paper. Big headlines told of the murders the night before, but he scarcely saw them. His eyes hurried through the story until he found what he was looking for. The news that Mike's body had been found. The butler Mike had shot had given the police Mike's description and then died before he could tell them there was anyone with Mike. So the police had listed Mike's death as a suicide or as an accident and closed the case. Edward Harrison was safe. Perfectly safe.
Safe. I'm safe. I got the money. Mary's gonna be all right, and the cops aren't looking for me. Mike was wrong. Sometimes you can get away with murder and not have to pay anything, if you're lucky. And I've been lucky. I've been lucky. Good morning, Doctor. Mary said you'd phone and had some good news.
Oh, yes, Mr. Harrison. I called you last night after I got in touch with Dr. Richards. I wanted to tell you that he had agreed to operate on your wife.
Oh, that's swell, Doctor. I got the money right here in my pocket.
The money, yes, yes. I was also going to tell you that Dr. Richards had said not to worry about it. You could take as long as you wanted to pay it.
As long as I wanted, then it wasn't necessary. I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to do it.
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand.
Never mind, Doc. I mean, I've got the money. I want to pay it. He's got to take it right away. Well, what's the matter? What are you looking at me like that for? The operation is going to save Mary's life, isn't it? You said it would. You can't go back on your word. You can't, do you hear?
It's not that, Mr. Harrison. Yes, the operation would save your wife's life. But unfortunately, Dr. Richards was the only man in this country able to perform it.
Well, so what? He said he'd do it, didn't he? And I've raised the dough to pay it. So what's the hitch?
Mr. Harrison, Dr. Richards can't perform the operation now.
But you said that...
Yes, I know. But he was tragically murdered last night by a burglar who broke into his home in Buxton Park.
And so ends the tale. Death laughs last, as it is written in the sealed book. In an effort to save his wife's life, Edward Harrison had helped kill the one man who might have saved her. Twisted indeed are the strands of fate in which destiny entangles mere mortals. And now, keeper of the book, before you close the great volume, show us the tale we tell next time. This one. Ah, yes. The tale of a man who was murdered by his wife and her brother, and the strange way he rose from a watery grave to accuse them of his death. The tale is titled You only die once. Be sure to be with us again next time when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book. The Sealed Book, produced and directed by Jock McGregor, is written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
L-E-T-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
The Sealed Book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept the great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds, strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly, the great book opens. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of a man who rose from a watery grave to accuse the living of his murder. A tale titled, You Only Die Once. The tale, You Only Die Once, as it is written in the pages of the sealed book. The story begins some years ago in the beautiful Winthrop mansion on the Hudson River. It is early evening, and John Winthrop, just home from the city, enters the drawing room to find his wife, Vivian, reading a telegram.
Good evening, darling. Who's the telegram from?
Oh, John, it's from my brother, Jerry. He's arriving tonight from Los Angeles. His train gets into Grand Central at 10 o'clock.
Well, that's fine. I'm very anxious to meet your brother, darling.
Oh, John, you'll love him. Jerry's a grand person.
I'm sure he is, Vivian, if he's anything like his sister.
Oh, for that, you deserve a kiss. Oh, John, I'm so excited about Jerry's visit.
Well, if having Jerry here makes you so happy, we'll have to make his stay a permanent one. Come on, darling, let's go to dinner.
Mr. Norton is here, sir.
Hello, Jerry. Come in. I'm John, your brother-in-law.
Hello, John.
Jerry. Oh, Jerry. Oh, it's so good to see you again.
Well, stand back and let me look at the bride. Vivian, I've never seen you looking so beautiful.
Now, John, you know why I'm so fond of Jerry. Oh, Jerry, dear. What suddenly made you decide to come east? You said nothing about it in your last letter.
Well, you know your brother. Always making quick decisions. I gave up my position in Los Angeles to come east. I intend to settle down and find a job in New York.
In New York?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jerry, that's wonderful. John, did you hear that?
Yes, darling. And I think it's a fine idea. As I recall, Jerry, Vivian said you were an executive.
That's right.
Well, then, I think I've got you a position. You mean you know of an opening? With whom?
Myself.
You?
Yes. For the past week or so, I've been contemplating hiring an assistant. My doctor told me I was overworking and needed one.
Well, there's nothing seriously wrong with you, I hope.
No, no. Just that my heart acts up a bit now and then when I've been working too hard. Well, what do you say, Jerry? Will you accept the position?
All right, John. And I'll do my best to be of real assistance to you.
No, you don't know how happy this all makes me. John, do you think Jerry might come here and live with us?
I think that's an excellent idea, if Jerry is agreeable.
Well, there's nothing I'd rather do, but... well, are you sure I won't be in the way?
Oh, Jerry, of course not. John and I would love to have you live with us.
Of course we would.
All right, then. Thank you both very much.
Good. Then it's all settled. Well, I must be off to bed. It's almost midnight, and I promised my doctor I'd be in bed every night by 11.
I'll be up shortly, John.
Oh, take your time, Vivian. I'm sure you two have a good deal to talk over. Good night, Jerry.
Good night, John. Well, sis, how have you been?
Oh, darling, if you only knew how much I've missed you these past months. Well, aren't you even going to kiss me?
Of course, darling.
Oh, darling, I've waited a long time for that. It seems years.
It's only been 6 months. How have you been doing, darling?
Not bad. Not bad at all. See this diamond bracelet? It was my wedding present from John.
What else have you gotten?
2 other bracelets, a necklace, and 4 rings.
What's it all worth?
Amounts to a little over 100,000.
Not bad, considering you've only been married 3 months.
Oh, how much longer will I have to go on keeping up the act, though, Jerry?
Never give up a gold mine until it's played out. And unless I miss my guess, John is still good for plenty more.
He's a very rich man.
Exactly. So you and I are staying here until we've worked, John, for every cent you can get. And when the time is ripe, you'll sue for a divorce and a big cash settlement.
Few months went by. Months in which John Winthrop found himself increasingly happy. Vivian was all that he'd ever dreamed of in a wife. And Jerry, as his business assistant, was invaluable. In his happiness, John lavished gifts on his wife and paid Jerry an exceedingly handsome salary. The three lived in complete harmony until one night. One night late in September...
Jerry?
Yes. How are you, sis?
In seventh heaven. Jerry, why didn't you tell me John was leaving for Chicago tomorrow morning?
Well, he didn't make up his mind until late this afternoon at the office. Oh, where is he now?
He's looking high and low for some papers in a brown envelope.
Oh, it must be the Anderson papers he wants. I have them right here in this briefcase. So where is he? I'll give them to him.
He's up in your room.
Up in my room?
Yes. When he couldn't find the papers in the study, he went upstairs to see if they were in your desk.
In my desk?
Yes. Jerry, is anything wrong?
I don't know. Let me see. Did I lock my desk this morning before I left for the office, or didn't I?
What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. If he should...
You seem to be quite upset, Jerry. Is it because you were afraid I found your desk unlocked that I might come across these?
So, you found them, huh?
Yes.
What do you have there, John?
Merely some newspaper clippings, Vivian. Allow me to read you a couple. The first one is dated 5 years ago, and it's from a New Orleans paper. Underneath a picture of Jerry and you, it reads, Mr. and Mrs. Philip Gordon, arrested for $10,000 jewelry theft at Mardi Gras party.
Where did you get that clipping?
I found it, along with several others in Jerry's, or should I say Philip's, desk. Allow me to read you another clipping. Mr. and Mrs. Philip Gordon, who pleaded guilty to the $10,000 Mardi Gras jewel theft, were today sentenced to prison by Judge Sawyer. Philip Gordon received a sentence of 3 to 5...
I don't want to hear any more. Stop it. Do you hear?
It was very clever of you two to pretend to be brother and sister when actually you were man and wife. No doubt sometime in the future, Vivian was to divorce me and receive a handsome cash settlement.
Yes, that's right. We had planned that. But our plans seem to have been spoiled. What do you intend doing?
I'm not going to Chicago tomorrow morning. Instead, I'm going to see my attorney and prosecute you both to the full extent of the law.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Yes, John, think of your reputation and your family name. They'd be dragged in the mud if this ever came out. You wouldn't want to see that happen, would you?
You think you can blackmail me into silence, don't you? Well, you're wrong. Come what may, I'm going to see to it that you're both punished.
Jerry seems ill.
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
Perfectly all right. I think we've said everything that's to be said. I'm through with words now. First thing in the morning, I'm going to see my attorney and have you both exposed. You're going to learn you made a fool of the wrong man.
To continue the story, you only die once, as it is written in the sealed book. After John had gone to bed, Jerry silently paced up and down the drawing room, trying to figure a way out of their dilemma. Vivian watched him anxiously, her face pale and drawn.
If John goes to his attorney in the morning, it'll mean stiff prison sentences for the two of us. You can be sure of that.
Jerry, I couldn't stand going to prison again. To be separated from you. If they send me to prison, I'll die.
You know how I feel, darling. The same way. There's only one way out.
One way out?
Yes. We must see to it that John doesn't go to his attorney in the morning.
Jerry, you don't mean... Oh, no, Jerry, no.
We don't get rid of him. It'll mean prison. Do you prefer that?
Oh, no, no, but I'm so afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of. I have a scheme that can't miss if we play our cards right.
Are you sure?
Positive. The best thing about it is its simplicity.
What is this scheme of yours?
John's gun is in that desk over there. I'll use it to get rid of him. Once that's done, you and I will carry him down to the boathouse.
To the boathouse?
Yes. There I'll fasten some weights securely to the body. Then we'll take him out in the launch to the deepest part of the river and drop him in. The weights will take him to the bottom and keep him there.
But Jerry, in a few days they'll start looking for him. They'll drag the river.
They'll start looking for him, but they won't drag the river. For as far as the police are concerned, John will have gone to Chicago.
But how are you going to make them believe that?
It's very simple. I have here John's ticket on the 6:30 train tomorrow morning for Chicago. After we've disposed of the body, you'll drive me to Grand Central Station, where I'll board the train as John Winthrop.
Oh, but Jerry, you could never pass as John. You're so much younger.
Nonsense. John and I are about the same height and build. If I were to wear John's glasses and a false mustache, in the early morning light, no one would notice the difference.
You wouldn't actually go to Chicago, would you?
Of course not. After I'd made sure that I was seen by the conductor and the porter at the station, I'd secretly slip off the train at the first stop.
Oh, I see.
A few days later, we'd notify the police that John had gone to Chicago, and we were worried as we hadn't heard from him. They'd naturally check to see if he'd taken the train. The conductor and porter would satisfy them on that score. The police would begin a nationwide search.
But, darling, they'll ask questions, hundreds of questions.
All we have to say is that you drove John to Grand Central Station and watched him leave on the train to Chicago. Stick to that story and we're safe, do you understand?
Oh, yes, Jerry.
Remember, that's all you know. John got the 6:30 train for Chicago, and that was the last you saw of him.
All right, darling. I won't slip up.
That's the spirit. Now, it's just 11 o'clock. We'll wait 2 hours to give John a chance to fall asleep. At 1 o'clock, we'll go up to his room and do what must be done. You all set, Vivian?
Yes.
I'll open the door. Quiet now.
Sound asleep?
Yes. Just hold that flashlight steady.
Hurry, darling, hurry.
Steady, Vivian. Quiet. It's all over.
Jerry, is he dead?
Yes. He never knew what happened.
Oh, I'm glad he didn't wake up. I'm so glad he was sound asleep.
Now, you pick him up by the feet while I get him under the shoulders. The next stop for John is the boathouse.
The deepest, just about 50 yards from here, Jerry.
Then that's the place for us. Cut the motor when we reach it.
We're just about there, Jerry. I'll cut the engine and we'll drift the rest of the way.
You'll have to give me a hand with him, Vivian. With these weights around him, he's quite heavy.
All right. What do you want me to do?
You take his feet while I take him by the shoulders. When I give the word, we'll both lift and toss him over the side. You ready?
Yes.
Then... lift.
Oh, Jerry, he's so heavy.
Just a little more. That's it. Now, I drop him. Well, darling, that's the last of Mr. John Winthrop. Now we'd better be getting back to shore. There's still quite a bit that remains to be done.
Keep your hat pulled down and your collar up, Jerry.
Right. Pardon me, conductor, but can you tell me where my compartment is? The name is Winthrop. John Winthrop.
You have your ticket, Mr. Winthrop?
You have it, don't you, darling?
Oh, yes, here it is, conductor.
Let's see. Car 3476. That's this car right here. You just go aboard. The porter will show you to your compartment.
Thank you, conductor.
That's quite all right, Mr. Winthrop.
I think we can count on him to remember I got on this train.
Pick you up at the 125th Street station.
Right. I'll wait there till you arrive.
Goodbye, John. Take care of yourself.
I will, Vivian. I'll phone you tomorrow night from Chicago.
Don't forget, John.
I won't. Bye.
Here I am, Jerry.
Come on. Let's get in the car and away from here.
All right. Everything go all right?
Perfectly. After the train pulled out of Grand Central, I had the porter show me to my compartment. I told him I hadn't slept for 24 hours, and I didn't want to be disturbed until we reached Chicago.
You didn't forget to give him a tip, did you?
No.
I gave him a $5 tip, just as we'd planned. Don't worry, that porter will remember me.
Good. You're certain no one saw you slip off the train just now?
Well, I'm positive. I took off my disguise before I left the compartment. Everything's working out just as I planned. All we have to do is sit tight for a few days. Then wire the men in Chicago who had appointments with John. When they tell us that John never kept his appointments, we'll get in touch with the police. And with tears in your eyes, you'll beg the police to find your missing husband.
To continue the story, you only die once, as it is written in the sealed book. Following Jerry's plan, 2 days after John's death, Vivian notified the police that her husband was missing. Shortly afterwards, she was called on by Lieutenant Richards of the Missing Persons Bureau.
You say, Mrs. Winthrop, the last you saw of your husband was when he boarded the train for Chicago?
Yes, Lieutenant. I waved to him as the train pulled out of the station. That was the last time I saw him.
A week passed, and then two. But the police found no trace of John Winthrop. It was as though he had vanished off the face of the earth after he had boarded the train for Chicago. The noted financier was reported seen in half a dozen cities all over the country, but each report turned out to be false. The newspapers played up the strange disappearance of John Winthrop, but after he had been missing a week, the story lost its interest for the public and was quickly forgotten. When 2 weeks had passed, Jerry took Vivian, who was on the verge of a nervous breakdown, away for a rest. Making no secret of their destination, they went to John's Mountain Lodge, high in the Adirondacks.
Would you like a cocktail, Vivian?
Yes, Jerry. Oh, darling, isn't it wonderful being up here, just the two of us?
It lacks only one thing to be perfect, music. Let there be music and let the wine flow freely.
I'll turn on the radio.
Here's looking at you, baby.
And here's to our good luck. May we always have it.
Oh, we're sitting pretty. Someday the police are going to give up looking for John. And then you're going to become a very, very wealthy widow.
You really think so, Jerry?
Of course. Naturally, it'll take time, but...
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news report. At 10:35 this morning, New York Harbor Police found the body of the missing financier, John Winthrop, in the Hudson River off 54th Street. The dead man had been shot in the head, and the police believe he was murdered. They are looking for his wife, Mrs. Vivian Winthrop, and Jerome Norton, her brother, for questioning. For further details, listen in on our regular news period at...
Jerry... How could they have found him? How could they?
I tied those weights securely. But somehow the body must have slipped out of the ropes and come to the surface.
Jerry, what are we going to do? You heard what that announcer said. The police are looking for us.
Yes, I know. Once they take our fingerprints, it'll be the end. They'll learn about New Orleans and that we aren't brother and sister.
Well,
Jerry, we just can't stay here. We've got to run for it before they catch us.
Run? Where can we run to?
Oh, I don't know. Mexico, South America, any place. We have my jewels. They're worth over $100,000.
Yes, but what good are they? What we need is cash, and all I have with me is $300. We don't dare go to your bank. They pick us up immediately.
Oh, I'm sure there's some place we'll be able to sell my jewelry. I'll pack my things at once.
Vivian, there's no sense in running away. How far do you think we'd get? The police are probably on their way here already.
Jerry, what's wrong with you? We've got to run away. There's no other way out.
There is another way out. If we're willing to take it.
What way is that?
The easiest and simplest way out of all troubles, darling.
Suicide? Oh, no, Jerry, no.
Would you rather go to the chair? Or even worse, be sentenced to life imprisonment?
Life imprisonment? Oh, no, I couldn't stand that.
Don't you see, darling, we have no choice. We're gamblers who played for high stakes and lost.
Oh, Jerry, I'm afraid. I'm so afraid.
It's better than rotting behind bars for the rest of our lives. Don't you agree with me, darling?
I know you're right, Jerry, but I don't want to die. I want to live.
So do I, Vivian, but... Do you hear sirens?
Jerry, the police. They're here already.
Yes. A police car and two motorcycle police are coming up the road. They'll be here in a minute or two.
But Jerry, Jerry, what are we going to do?
We have the choice of going back with them and standing trial for murder, or the other. You know what my choice is.
How are you going to do it?
Poison tablets. I have them here. I've carried them a long time against just such a moment as this.
Will we suffer much?
No, darling. A moment or two, then it will be all over. The police are almost here. We haven't much time.
All right, Jerry.
Now you're being the good loser that I always knew you were. Here's a tablet for you, darling. And one for me.
Will one be enough?
Yes, more than enough. Don't be afraid, Vivian. Do it quickly without thinking about it. Here, I'll take mine first. Now, you take yours.
All right, Jerry.
That's it. There, that wasn't so hard, was it?
No.
Well, darling, they're here. But nothing they can do or say can matter to us anymore. We've beaten them, do you understand? They can't touch us.
Yes, Jerry.
I'll let them in now. Hello, Lieutenant. Come in. You remember Mrs. Winthrop, don't you?
You can stop the acting, Norton, or should I say Gordon. We know who you and Mrs. Winthrop are.
Oh, so you've already found out, huh?
Yes. We did some fast checking this morning after Winthrop's body was fished out of the harbor. I'm going to have to take you both back to headquarters.
I'm afraid you're a little late, Lieutenant.
A little late?
Yes. You see, a minute or so before you arrived, my wife and I took poison tablets.
Huh?
In a very little while, we'll both be well out of your reach.
Rogan, get the first aid kit from the squad car.
Yes, sir.
You're wasting your time, Lieutenant. You're never going to send us to prison for John Winthrop's murder.
Murder? We don't want you for Winthrop's murder.
You don't want us for John's murder?
No, for the simple reason he wasn't murdered.
What are you saying? I shot and killed him myself.
You only think you did. An autopsy this morning showed that John Winthrop died of heart failure. All you did was put a bullet into a corpse about an hour later.
You mean he was already dead? Dead when I shot him?
Yes, that's right.
Lieutenant, help us. Don't let us...
Jerry, I can't breathe. Help me.
Lieutenant, don't let us die. Save us. Don't let us...
Lieutenant, get the first aid kit.
It's too late, Grogan.
You mean they're dead?
Yes. The chief only wanted them for questioning, but if ever two people deserved to die, they did. There was murder in their hearts. Yet I'll be doggone if the law would have been able to do anything to them. We couldn't have held them for murder.
Yeah, that's right. It would have been hard to make a charge of bigamy stick with Winthrop dead.
I guess about the only thing we could have held them for was mutilation and illegal transportation of a corpse. Yes, sir. Justice sure has a strange way of working itself out.
And so ends the tale. You only die once, as it is written in the sealed book. The uncanny hand of fate reached out for the two who had ruthlessly planned the death of an innocent man and doomed them to die through their own actions. And now, keeper of the book, before you close the great volume, show us the tale we tell next time. This one? Ah, yes. A weird and magic tale of a strange life and an even stranger death. And of a murder terrible beyond all belief. Sure to be with us again next time when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book. The Sealed Book, produced and directed by Jock McGregor, is written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.